We're missionaries. Just a real quick history about me is I was a country boy in North Carolina growing up. And then I did a lot of music and artwork growing up. And I ran into this artist when I was 20 years old. And this artist was from Israel. And he said, hey, I'd like for you to come over to Israel and help me with a project. And I was like, sure. All right, let's go. So it turns out that this guy is named Rick Winicky, and he's a sculptor in Israel, and he did this big sculpture project that I helped him finish called the Fountain of Tears. And some of you may be familiar with this project, but it's opened up incredible kingdom doors for Arabs and for Jews in Israel to see God's face and God's heart. So it was an honor to be a part of that. And then during that time, I was actually working out in the desert, the hot desert of Israel, the Negev Desert. And one day I was grinding bronze, just bronze dust all over me and working really hard. And then suddenly the presence of God came into the studio that I was at. And I literally dropped all my tools and I was like, what's going on? I could not handle myself or the presence of God. And suddenly God spoke to me and said, Caleb, you're going to go to some islands in the Pacific Ocean. And then he said, I want you to begin to get connected with indigenous people. And I didn't know what in the world that meant. But I basically dropped everything in my life and started following the heart of God for the nations. And since that day, I've lived in tribal groups and far-flung islands of the seas and jungles. And somehow I met my wife out there. And now we have two sons, and my sons are living out in the jungles and going around just like us. I remember when our first son was 3 months old, we were crossing a river on a bamboo raft with crocodiles in the river, and it was 10:30 at nighttime. We couldn't see. But God is good. He is so faithful, and our heart is for the unreached people. And there's a scripture in Revelation chapter 7. And everyone's familiar with this scripture. I'm just going to quickly read it. Chapter 7, verse 9 through 10 says, after this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Is that not awesome? All right. So let me go back to verse 9, I believe. It says, from every nation, and then says, from all tribes, peoples, and languages. All right, if you break that down and start to think about it, the truth is that the gospel has already gone to every nation in the world. That is true. But if you look at the next, it says all tribes. And now let me give you an example. In the Philippines alone, the Philippines is one nation, but there are 178 different languages and different tribal groups in the Philippines. All right, so different peoples and languages. So I'm just talking about just the Philippines, 178 different language groups. And we do a lot of ministry in the Philippines. And a lot of those nations are, a lot of those people groups are not, haven't even heard the name of Jesus yet. And so this is our agenda. This is what we've been commissioned to do, all of us. And so that's the privilege that I get to do, and in the nations, not just Philippines, but Southeast Asia, and another country called Kiribati, and also Fiji, and now there's another new country that we're going to called Tokelau. Anyone know Tokelau? I didn't know until last year, but it's great. So let me just tell you a story about something that happened starting about 5 years ago, I believe. So I was in the Philippines back in 2013, me and my wife, and I woke up from a dream one morning, and every time that I have a dream, I have this journal that I write out all my dreams. I also write my thoughts out and things like that. But that morning, I wrote this dream out because it was a very vivid dream, and it was pretty far out there, to tell the truth. But let me tell you what happened. So in the dream, I saw I was actually standing on top of a mountain, and I just looked out, and there was this kind of multitude of people, and it was a tribe. It was a tribal group, and I've done a lot of research and traveled all around the world, so I've seen all these different tribes around the world. So when I saw these people, I could not recognize who they were, and so I asked them, "What are your names? Or what tribe are you?" And they said, looked at me and they said, "We are the Tinanun people." And I had never heard that word, Tinanun. Have you guys ever heard that word? Yeah, this is in the dream. So I heard that word, Tinanun, in my dream. And then after that, there was a chief of this tribe, and he carried a musical instrument up to the front in front of all these people, and he placed the instrument on the table, and the instrument was shaped in a like a circle, and it was had like a bowl like shape from the bottom, and there was a wooden ring that went all the way around it, and there were strings. There were 30 strings that went from the outside to the middle of the instrument. And the chief got these two small sticks, and he began to play this musical instrument. And I'm actually an instrument maker. That's my profession outside of traveling the world as a missionary. Me and my family and all of our missions work through making musical instruments. And so in the dream, everything paused in my dream, and I kind of zoomed in to this instrument before he started playing it. And suddenly I got like a download of everything about this instrument, like what materials it was made out of, how it was made, the thickness of all of the different parts, and how it was tuned, how it was played, what tuning it was in. And then I kind of zoomed back out, and then the chief began to play this musical instrument. And as he played, it was like heaven came down, and this heavenly music and worship filled the whole atmosphere. And all of the people of the tribe were worshiping God. Yeah. I mean, I could have just stayed in that dream, but I woke up. So then when I woke up, like I said, I pulled my journal out, and I wrote everything out. And I actually drew pictures of the instrument. I drew all the materials. I had little lines, you know, going over and saying, you know, this is made out of this material. It's, you know, 3/8 of an inch thick, and it's made like this because of this reason and blah, blah, blah. And I just put all of the, everything that I got from the dream, I recorded in my journal that morning. I also wrote the word tinenanen. And like I said, I'd never heard that word before. And so I was even having a hard time spelling it. I was like T-I-N, and then it kind of lost me from that point. But I tried different ways, and I wrote it out. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to try my best basically to see if this is a word from the Lord or not. And a lot of times whenever I feel like the Lord speaks to me, what I do is I tell the Lord, I'm going to go as far as I possibly can with this word. And if I go as far as I possibly can, and if it's from a, if it's a word from the Lord, then God is going to meet me halfway. He's going to show me signs and wonders along the way and to help guide me. But if it's not a word from the Lord, I just go back to my closet and get back before the Lord, you know. But anyway, so I was like, I'm gonna just pursue this and see what happens. So first, I contacted all my friends with Summer Institute of Linguistics and Wycliffe Bible Translators and all of these you know, organizations that I have friendships with that do anthropology work. These are the guys that do, they know about all the tribes and languages of the world. Wycliffe, I mean, many of you know about Wycliffe. They're the largest Christian organization that, and they have done research about every tribe and language in the world. Surely they would know if there is a tribe called Tinenanen, they would know it. So I contacted them, and I actually had a meeting with them, and they said, nah, they actually had this big book, you know, it's like this thick, and it has all the tribes and languages and how they, you know, work together and how they formed and everything. And they were like, no, there's no word in here like Tinenanen. That's just one of those pizza dreams, you know? And I was like, all right, I guess it was, I did have some pizza the night before, so. No, but, so I even asked Google. I mean, I Googled it, and Google was like, there's not such thing as Tinenanen. So I was like, all right, I might just give up on this. So I was very still interested in this instrument, and I got into my shop, and I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this instrument. And so, like, I went for it. I went up into the mountains and, like, harvested all of these materials. Like, I hand cut all the pieces and hand planed them and got it all set in place. And then I was like, all right. And then I just went at it, and then, like, suddenly everything's snapping, everything's breaking, nothing is going as planned, and it was like, it just was not working. Like, everything that I had planned and drew out was, like, not working at all. So me and Gladys, my wife, we actually worked on it for months, and it was like failure after failure. So ended up kind of giving up on that. And anyway, we were at the same time still doing a lot of ministry in the nations. And I was going down on a missions trip down in the Philippines in an island called Mindanao. And I was traveling on this jeepney. Does anyone know what a jeepney is? Yeah, okay. Okay, I see two hands. Yeah. Well, a jeepney is like the public transportation in the Philippines, but they're just like these old, rugged jeeps that people convert into public transportation. And this was like one that was like really rugged. It goes up into the mountains, you know, far up into the mountains. So we're you know, traveling up on, you know, bumpy road, going up into the mountains, and there's this guy on the other side of me, and he keeps staring at me, and just staring and staring at me, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, what's this guy doing looking at me? But so he's Filipino, and I can speak Tagalog, which is you know, the national language in the Philippines. Any Filipinos here? Nope. Okay. Well, anyway, he was sitting across to me and he was looking at me, and so I was like, I'm just gonna talk to this guy. So I started chatting with the guy, and it turns out that this guy is a believer, and he's Filipino, and he was traveling to this one area for the first time, and so we're talking about Jesus and everything, and then as I'm talking to him, suddenly I hear something from the Lord. I hear the Lord say, I want you to ask this man about the Tinananon. And I was like, no, I'm not going back to that pizza dream. But no, I'm not going back there. And I heard it again. I was like, the Lord said, ask this man about the Tinananon. I said, okay. I built up the courage, and I just looked at him. I said, sir, I mean, this was like 5 minutes into our length. I said, sir, do you happen to know Tinananon? And as soon as I said that word, Tinananon, his eyes got really big, and he leaned into me, and he said, hey, how do you know my people? He said, how do you know my tribe? And so I was kind of like speechless at that time, and I didn't know how to respond, and so I was like, what are you talking about? Like, you're an actual people group? And he was like, yeah. So I'm like, tell me as much as you know about this. And he starts telling me about his life, and this guy is actually was born outside of his people group, but he knew that he was a Tinananon person. And so the Tinananon are a people group that is a totally undocumented, unreached people group in the Philippines. That they are located on a mountain range that is basically cut off from the world. And the reason why is because there are war camps that surround this people group. And so it's very difficult to come in and out of this tribe. And so this man was actually born outside of his tribe, and he ended up coming to know Jesus growing up as a young boy. And then God spoke to him and told him that he needs to go back to his tribe to bring the gospel. And so I was like, all right, I don't know where you're going today. I don't know what you're doing, but I have something I need to show you. And so we're on this jeepney, and we end up getting to my house, and he gets off with me together with my companions. And I had my journal with me. When we went to my house, I opened up the journal, and I showed him the journal from like 6 months before when I had that dream. And his eyes were he was just like crying, and he was like reading this whole passage from when I wrote it 6 months before. And he said, Caleb, you remember like earlier when we were in the jeepney? You know, I kept looking at you before we were talking, and I was like, yeah, what was that all about? And he was like, yeah, the reason I was looking at you, I was staring at you, is because I've seen you before. And he said, I've seen you in a dream. And he said, 3 years ago, 3 years ago, when God called me back to my people, I was trying to, I was trying to bring the gospel to the Tinanin. But as I was, the more I tried, the more that they wanted to kill me. And the more, it was just so much persecution. And the more I just wanted to leave and go back. And then suddenly I went to sleep one night and I had a dream. And this is what he was saying. He said that he saw me in his dream. And I came to his people group, the Tinanin, and helped him bring the gospel to his people. Yeah, so I was like, oh my goodness. I was like, my whole life is just wrecked now. What am I going to do? This is like 2 months before my first son was born. At this point, I was like, all right, let's just like, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what your plans are, but can you just stay with me and my family for like 3 or 4 days? And let's just like pray into this and see what God does. And so as we're praying, God has begun to, speaking to us, and we're worshiping together, and then God, spoke to me really clearly and said, go. I want you to go. And I said, okay. Me and my wife were up for it, but I was like, before I go, I just want to do one more thing. I want to get back in my shop and just see if I can make this instrument again. Because God began to show me the signs and the wonders, with this man. So that was clear that God, this dream was from God. So maybe this instrument has something to do with it. So I was like, let me get back into my shop. So anyway, I got back into my shop. Me and Gladys, we asked the Holy Spirit for wisdom. We asked for revelation about how to put these materials together. And thankfully, after 3 months of like just totally focusing on this instrument, we got it. And I remember tuning up the strings and putting it together and stroking the strings for the first time, and tears began to come down my face because it was like that same sound that I heard from the dream. And I was like, okay, I'm ready. So what I did is I ended up buying a plane ticket that night. And the next morning, the next afternoon, I left. And I flew down there by myself, and I took this instrument with me. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I just took the instrument with me. I had this little backpack of clothes and then this instrument. And then I got there, and I had one of my companions join me. Him and I went out, way out into the mountains on this little motorbike. And then we finally met that man, the man that I'm telling you about from the bus or from the jeepney. I met him right at the border of the mountain range. And then all three of us got on the motorbike. So it's like, I was stuck in the middle. I was stuck in the middle with the instrument. I was sandwiched in the middle, and I couldn't put it on the side. I had to put it above my head. So we're going up into the mountains, and it's not like our mountains here. This is like these Asian mountainscapes, these like crazy mountainscapes that you see on the pictures. So we're going up this little tiny path, going up there, and then I look up into the sky, and there's this like big rain cloud coming in, and I'm just like, oh no, I know what that means, So like 5 minutes later, pouring down rain on the instrument, on us, and we're on this little motorbike trying to balance. I mean, I could actually tell you a lot of stories from that, like, that 10 hours of traveling. We had a drop-off cliff and a bridge that went across. And this bridge was like a hanging bridge. It was two ropes that went across with like uneven wooden planks going like this. And the driver was like, it's not good for us to walk across. We might as well just drive across. So I was like, hey, you know best, I guess. So anyway, I'm here to stand. I'm standing here to say that God is faithful. God is good. But it was a real balancing act there, you know. The bridge was swinging, so we had to, like, you know, do our balancing act. Anyway, we finally got there into the tribal area, and it was amazing. I mean, I can't tell you how amazing it was, because I began to see their faces, and it was the same faces that I saw from the dream. And as we were entering in, God spoke to me again. And a lot of people asked, how does God speak to you? And I mean, it's not this audible voice. I mean, not usually. It's been one or two times, but it's just, I have this deep down impression, like, I need to do this. But anyway, God spoke to me at that moment. He said, I want you to take the instrument to the chief of the tribe. And I was like, I don't even know if there is a chief. But if there is, lead me there. And so we started asking around. The guys that I was with didn't know where the chief's house was. As we were asking, it turns out that this tribe has 50 chiefs. And the reason why is because this tribe is in it. It's actually a really big tribal group of 100,000 people. And they're cut off from the world. And so the reason why there are 50 chiefs is because they need a chief in every area, you know, to take care of, you know, that group of thousands, like 5 to 10,000 people. So there's 50 chiefs, but then there's the chief of those chiefs. And so I was like, okay, well, take me to the chief of the chiefs. That's where I want to go. And then they were like, oh, well, it's on the other side of the mountain. You got to go like 3.5 hours. And we were like, oh, I mean, by this time, the sun was starting to go down. We had mud all over our bodies. And we were like, all right, let's get back on. So we went back at it. 3.5 hours later, we arrived at this small house. It was a small wooden house, and we just walked up there and knocked on the door, and there was the chief. And he opened the door, and I said I was speaking in the national language, which they have their own dialect. They have their own language, but I was hoping that he would understand, you know, the national language. So as I was speaking to him, thankfully he understood, but he could not speak it. So I told him that we were traveling through this area for the first time, but before we go to different parts of his tribe, we really wanted to come to his house first. And I said, I just want to give this instrument as a gift to you. And so he actually looked at the instrument, and he was like scared of it. He was like backing up, and he was like staring at it. And I was trying to like introduce myself, but he kept looking at this instrument. And so I put it on the table, and he would like come up to it, and he would like touch it, and then he would like strike the strings, and then he would back up. And he kept saying, where did you get this instrument from? And I was like, I just kind of made it, you know? And he was like, no, I'm serious. Where did you get this instrument from? And I said, well, you know, I just had some ideas and put them together. And I was trying to beat around the bush, you know, not tell him really what happened. And at that time, there were some other chiefs that walked into the room. And as they looked at this instrument, they, as soon as they walked into the room, they saw the instruments and they said, "Salimba, Salimba." And then they came up to it and they started stroking this instrument. And I was like, "What's Salimba? I don't even know what that is. Is that like a dance or something?" And then they were like, they were stroking the instrument and they were, "Salimba." And they were like, "How did you get this instrument? Where did you get it from?" And by that time, I was like, I might as well just tell them. I was like, I've gone this far. And I was like, "Well, last year I had a dream, and in the dream, I heard the name of your tribe for the first time. I heard the name Thinananan. And I also saw this musical instrument in the dream." And I said, "I'm an instrument maker. And so I believe that my God had given me this dream. And so I pursued it. I made the instrument. And turns out that I found your tribe. And here I am. I just want to give this instrument to you." I kind of just poured it all out. And then he was like, they were all just kind of like standing there. And then they said, "We need to show you something." So they took me out of their house. We went down this little path. And we went to a little, it was a little wooden hut type thing. I didn't know what it was at the time. But they opened the door, and when I walked in, I realized I was in what they consider the Holy of Holies in their tribe. Now, in their tribe, they worship many different gods. They you know, the god of the tree, the god of the stone. But then there's the god of all gods. And so what they do is they worship these different gods inside this room. And so as we walked into this room, I was like seeing all of these, they're ancient artifacts. They're tangible artifacts that this tribe has been existing for hundreds of years. They're also an advanced tribal group. So they work with metal, they work with pottery, clay, they work with all different types of wood. And so anyway, I'm seeing all this different weaving work and all this different pottery and metalwork. I see this on the right side of the place there, there's a wall full of musical instruments. There's a two-stringed instrument made out of wood. There was a gong-like instrument. It had it was shaped in a circle, and it had a little dome on the top of it. And then there was this blank spot on the wall. And they began to explain to me that the different instruments that they have worship the different gods. So there's this one type of instrument. Let's just say it's a two-stringed lute. They would worship the god of the tree. And then they would have a different stringed instrument that worships the god of the river. And then they said, but 100 years ago or 150 years ago, there was a tribal war. And another tribe came and defeated them and ended up taking their most precious musical instrument. And this was the instrument that they worshiped the god of all gods with. Yeah. Yeah. And they said that this instrument, yep, and this instrument was the instrument that they worshiped the god of all gods. And what happened is when it was taken away from them, it was a lament came from that time. It was a very sad, sorrowful song that came out of that. But if it was also a prophecy. And the song goes like this. The enemy took away our instrument that worships the god of all gods, and therefore God is going to redeem it back to us. Yes. And whenever God redeems it back to us, God is actually going to be writing inside this instrument, coming down from heaven. And the instrument's going to be like an aircraft that connects heaven to earth. And he said that whenever it comes down, it's going to rest on top of the mountain. And God is going to call all the righteous people to him. So they're telling me about that. And then they say this instrument was color, it was made out of bronze. It was the color of gold on the bottom. It was shaped like a bowl. It had a wooden ring that went all the way around it. And it had 30 strings that went from the outside to the middle. And we would play it with two different sticks. And he said, that instrument's called the salemba, and that's the one that you brought to us today.
Thank you.
Yeah. So at that time, I was speechless. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. They suddenly, like, gathered all these people together. They had a dedication where they suddenly, like, dedicated this instrument back to the God of all gods, our God. They began to just worship with this instrument. There was actually a musician that picked up the instrument and began to play it just like that. at that time, they asked me to come up, and they put a headpiece of a chief on me. And the headpiece is, only a chief is allowed to wear this. And they put it on me and they said, you are now a chief of the Thinananin. And he said, whatever you believe God is leading us into, that's we're going to follow. So after that, yeah. So me and my team, we ended up staying there for a while, and we were taking many trips there to get to know them more. And the Lord, I woke up one morning. I was sitting having breakfast with the chief, and I felt like the Lord wanted me to ask the chief this. So I looked at the chief and I said, Chief, if there's anything that I can do, or me and my family, if there's anything that we can do for you and your tribe, what would it be? How can we help? And he sat there for about 30 minutes, and he didn't even respond to me at first. He thought about it. And then after a while, he said, okay, if you can do one thing for me, just one thing, I want you to do this. I want you to help us translate your book into our language. And I was like, do you know, I mean, inside my head, I was like, I can definitely help you with that, but that is like a 30-year project at the least. The Bible translation is a long, long, long process. But I was like, okay, I'm gonna try my best to help you with this. The reason I'm saying that is because I had already gone to Wycliffe Bible Translators. Remember I told you? And I had already told them, do you guys know Thinananin? And they looked in their big book and they said, no, there's not such thing. So if I go back to the Wycliffe and I tell them again, they're going to like kick me out and say, you know, he's a crazy man. No, but anyway, from that time, the Lord had given me the opportunity to stand in front of all the CEOs of Wycliffe Bible Translators, Summer Institute of Linguistics, and Translators Association of the Philippines. And I was able to present this tribe to them. And the Philippine government has not even recognized this people as a people group. They don't even know about them. So we had to go through a long battle with them. And finally, after all this stuff, Wycliffe was like, the only way we can really find out if this is a real people group is if we go and meet them ourselves. And they did that. They went all the way out there, took that same journey that I took. And they got out there, and every one of those 50 chiefs stood before Wycliffe and these other translation organizations. And they pleaded to them, help us translate the Bible into our language. Is that not amazing? So, back in 2015, the project started, and we're right in the middle of it right now. Me and my wife are the vision keepers, and then we have a translation team that's there on ground that's always doing the translation. All of them are native. All of them are native speakers, and I can tell you so many amazing God stories and miraculous things that have happened since that time. One very cool thing that has happened is about 2 years ago, I came home from the Philippines, and I had made another version of this same instrument, the salimba, and I brought it, and so Daryl and Marshall had invited me up to the mountains to spend time with them, and I came up there, and I brought the instrument with me, and they had not even heard the story yet. And so I had a dinner, I think, with you and your family. And we're sitting there, and now Marshall is also an instrument maker. He makes an instrument called the handpan, which is this instrument over here on in the middle. It's shaped like this. And him and I had not even connected for all these years, but I had remembered that the tribe, the Tinanan tribe, when I walked into that room, remember I told you I saw that instrument that had a dome-like, the metal instrument had a dome-like, so you hit that and it makes a tone, and then you can play it, and you have these different sized ones that makes different tones. And so they were telling me that was the partner instrument of the salimba back in the day. So those two instruments were played hand in hand beside each other to worship the God of all gods. And so when I realized that Marshall was making this instrument that's actually almost the exact same thing, it's a metal instrument, it's got a dome on top of it, and you hit it and play it, and it plays different notes. I was like, let's just experiment a little bit and see what happens here. So him and I just sat there on the floor in his living room, and we just began to play, and it was like heaven was coming back. The sound was being redeemed again after 150 years, and it was just these two American guys playing it. What if this tribe was playing this instrument? That was going on in my head. So anyway, what we did from that time is we started working together. And I just really want to thank Pastor Daryl. He and his church just jumped on board with this. And we ended up producing an album. They have a music studio in their church facility. And it's a very good studio, and we were actually able to collaborate together with these professional musicians to create a very good album that represented the tribe, represented the chief, represented the redeeming of the sound, and it represented what God's doing in the tribe at this time. It kind of put it all together into this like one tangible piece, and it was this album. We had actually Marshall's brother, his name's Jacob, who's a professional artist, and he did the artwork. And if you actually see this this here, this is the front of the album that we did. And this is the artwork that he did. And the meaning behind this is that the chief, this is actually the real face of the chief. And the headpiece that he's wearing with the feathers and the beadwork, that's their colors. And then on the left side of the artwork is the salimba, the instrument. And so we had finished this whole album. Now, keep in mind, this is still a totally undocumented people group. And over the past 2 years, the Philippine government has been hearing about all this stuff, like the album, hearing about all this stuff that's going on with the Bible translation and with the way that imagine it like this, a totally closed door to the gospel. And then because the chief had given me and my family the open door, suddenly there's a gateway into the tribe. And there's a gateway for the gospel to come. But at the same time, it is helping the world recognize that this is a people group. And so since that time, the Philippine government has actually recognized this people as a people group. And they have actually stamped that territory as Tinanon tribal territory. And so the Tinanon are gaining their tribal heritage, tribal DNA. And it's a prideful, I am Tinanon. I am Tinanon. Me and my people have been kicked to the dust all these years, but now God is raising us up to be a people that is known throughout the world. And it's absolutely amazing. And so this coming August is actually, let me back up a little bit. When I finished that album together with the whole Harvest House team, we ended up producing and distributing them all around the world. But I ended up saving a big batch of them, of these albums, and I took them with me to the tribe. And this was actually only November of last year, or October of last year. And I got to stand in front, it was actually a area kind of like this, and all of the tribal chiefs were sitting there, all 50 of them. And I got to unveil this artwork to them. And so I had the album with me, and as I unveiled the artwork, and I told about how all these people around the world are praying for them, and how God is like using all of this stuff to like bring glory to His name and everything, I unveiled the album to them, and then they all began to just cry and weep in His presence. And there was this sweet presence that came across the room, and none of us were able to even talk for a while. It was just God was just ministering the Father's heart to all these tribal chiefs. And then they ended up going back to their own areas, bringing that back to their areas. And so it was amazing. And so in return, they had said, there's going to be this called Indigenous Peoples Day. It's the biggest historic event of the Tinanon, which is going to be in August of this year. And they said, we want to blow up this picture onto a canvas that's like 10 feet tall. And they said, we want to put it right there in the middle of the festival. And because the government members from all over the Philippines, they're going to be coming to this event, and we want to have you there and be a part of this whole event. And I said, okay, I'm going to come, and I'm going to bring some of the musicians from this album. And they were like, are you serious? And I said, yeah, I'm doing it. And so I told them right then and there, I did not even talk to you guys about that. I just told them, I'm going to bring them. And they were like, okay. So anyway, that's going to be on August 28th of this year. So we're preparing for it right now. And also another cool thing that's happened is there's a Philippine museum in the Philippines that has heard about all this, and they've commissioned me to make a salemba for their museum to help represent what God's doing in the Dinanan people. And so, is that good? Is that can you think of anything else that can? Okay, cool. All right. All right, so I know you guys are like, when are we going to hear it, right? Does anyone want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, but we're gonna get set up, and what we're going to actually do is I'm going to play the salemba a little bit first, and then Marshall is going to come in with the handpan, this other instrument that he's making, and we're gonna play them together. All right. So as we're getting ready, I actually want to show a video that might actually help a lot of you get some visualization of what's going on with all of this artwork going on. So as the video is going, we're going to help get set up, and then we're going to jump right into it.